8 out of 10 girls want to be more confident. They want it, right? No one wants to have these self-esteem issues and the confidence issues and the depression. Like, that's not what this generation wants. And so I do think what we're doing and scaling it as quickly as possible is really, really important from a societal perspective.
On this edition of Ebb and Flow, we speak with the chief executive officer of a company with a simple mission: to help raise the most inspired and confident generation of girls. That CEO is Jess Wolf, and the company is Rebel Girls, a brand perhaps familiar to parents and grandparents listening today. At least it is for this father of a 10-year-old girl who has devoured book after book from this company, including a brand new offering entitled Growing Up Powerful, so hot off the presses that it arrived at our house in the days between my interview with Jess and the release of this podcast. In our chat, Jess describes how Rebel Girls is helping young women navigate an ever more challenging world in which a well-documented confidence gap between girls and boys has been compounded by the pandemic, cyberbullying, and many other factors. Beyond Jess and team's work to, quote, revolutionize girlhood through courage and confidence, end quote, we also discuss the business model of this certified B Corp and women-owned business, the current climate in the world of startups, and the evolving ways young people are engaging with great content today. On behalf of my partners, Tom Lips, Andrew Worthington, Ashley Martella, and Paula Rose, and our entire Long River Wealth Management team, welcome to this edition of Ebb and Flow. Jess, first, I need to admit being somewhat starstruck here in that Rebel Girls is a well-known brand in our house, alongside well-worn copies of Narnia and Wrinkle in Time on both our 10-year-old daughter and our 8-year-old son's bookshelves sit beloved copies of your books, including a box set of 5 stories of women who rocked the world. So this family knows you well, but for our listeners who may not yet be acquainted with Rebel Girls, can you give us the history? What was the impetus for this business, and how did it take shape and get to where it is today?
Well, I'm thrilled that our books share the shelves with Narnia and Wrinkle in Time. Those were a couple of my favorite books when I was about their age too. So that's awesome. They're in good company.
Good.
Rebel Girls started in 2016 via a Kickstarter, and the mission was to inspire and instill confidence in girls, and that's remained unchanged. And our co-founder's goal back in the day, 7 years ago, was to address a white space in the market of children's media, as only 19% of children's books featured women with any sort of job or even career ambition, women with agency. 19%. Wow. Versus more than 80% of children's books feature men with agency. One of their authors' favorite movies growing up was Finding Nemo. And the only female character in that entire movie, which is the ocean, is Forgetful Dory.
Wow.
That was the whole reason to start a company that wanted to give girls more options and more role models. And what better to do than real life role models of amazing women from every background, every country throughout history, profession, who've done these amazing things. And we started to tell their stories, but as fairy tales, as this twist on the traditional fairy tale where the princess wasn't waiting to be rescued by the prince. She was an awesome, badass woman who went and changed the world.
Amazing. Amazing. Sort of changing some of these long, hard-coded sort of archetypes of fairy tales, and obviously for the better. So Jess, let's talk about the content a little bit more in a little bit more detailed way, specifically your editorial process and, your mission to, quote, revolutionize girlhood through courage and confidence is really compelling. And I should say, but the content supporting that goal is incredibly diverse. So, one need look no further than your website for stats describing 1,000 original stories, 160 narrators, 450 writers and illustrators, themes that range from, sports to art to race to content in 110 countries. I could go on, but in short, how do you conceive and then organize all of this content? It's a huge undertaking.
Yeah. Well, we have a lot of spreadsheets.
All right.
That's for sure. But we've taken that first book And we've built out a franchise around it. So, you know, we have now sold more than 9 million books. They're in 50 languages. They're in 110 countries. We've built a podcast with, you know, 21 million downloads for audio stories. We've created annual tentpole events with Rebel Girls Fest. And we've continued to build community, 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 community. Some of the stats you mentioned, you know, 1,000 original stories in English. We've done another 1,000 in other languages with some of our partners. It's about how do we inspire and instill confidence for all girls around the world? How do we create such a library for them that everyone can find at least one person to be their role model, to be inspired, if not dozens? And so when we think about, like, how do we do this? You know, there's a couple elements to it. The first is authentic representative storytelling. And that's why we've worked with more than 600 female and non-binary creators from more than 50 countries. Wow. How do we create the most representative, authentic storytelling and have the creators tell these stories in a way that sticks and hits? And so we have a team that works with these hundreds and hundreds of women creators. And so that's one way that we organize, and they have a lot of ideas and viewpoints and whatnot. And then there's the subjects and who do we tell stories and what are the next books about? And we really do at this point look for different white spaces. So where are there opportunities to tell stories that are not often told, that should be told? So last year we did a book on awesome entrepreneurs because there are so few books out there about women who have built businesses. This year we have one coming out on gamers. It's 45% of the gaming market are girls, and we tell very, very few stories about gamers. And so we do that where we're finding new white spaces where we think that there's underrepresentation in a storytelling perspective. And then the lens is who's in them and where do they come from and how do we do our research? And it's a combination of, you know, an amazing editorial team. It's a combination of our audience that gives us nominations every single day for more and more women they want to see profiled. It's about doing research on the market and trends and what is missing and creativity.
I just want to ask you a little bit more about the audience in particular. And you know, you mentioned the content being translated in, you know, 50 plus languages and distributed in 110 countries, but, you know, to what extent is the content tailored to those different regions? In other words, you know, might you highlight a famous woman in one country who may be relatively unknown in another, or do you tend to stick to kind of universally known figures?
All of the above, and it depends. When we do our main volumes of 100 stories, so this last year we did one on young changemakers. So girls 10 to 30 years old around the world who are changing the world. You know, we pick girls from many, 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 many men and women from many countries. And everything we do is international. So we try very hard for each book to have no more than 50% of the women from the United States and 50% be from outside the United States to be global. We also work with our foreign language translation partners to localize a bit in each country. So we usually allow them to swap out about 5 stories to have more from their country to increase the relevancy in that and in respective markets. So the volume may be slightly different in each country to have that localization effect. We've also worked with publishers in different countries to create specific volumes for that country. So we've done a book on 100 Mexican women. We've done a book on 100 Turkish women, 100 French women. And I think that both is important. I think the localization is incredibly important for inspiration there, and having these global, very international books that showcase women and girls from all over the world doing amazing things is also important.
Interesting. So I, you know, you mentioned earlier this, the multimedia approach that you're employing here, you know, books, podcasts. I know from a previous discussion, there's even a Broadway show in the offing, I believe. I once interviewed an editor-in-chief of a pretty well-known publication who talked about the need to develop new and different channels of information beyond just reading, you know, just given the fact that people and kids' habits and attention spans are changing. So How do you prioritize these various forms of media? And are you noticing usage trends and patterns that stand out, you know, one being more popular than another?
Our purpose is to help raise the most inspired and confident generation of girls to date. And we believe that the best way to do this is to build omni-channel and to be everywhere girls are. And so there's a very big audience element to this, which is why we are building physical and digital in real life and virtual. And that is what this next, we serve Generation Alpha, and that is what they expect. So to be a brand for Generation Alpha, that is a, you know, IP brand, storytelling brand, it needs to be multi-channel to best them. I think there's a business element as well, which is wanting to be diversified. And the last 3 years have taught us that the world changes every couple of minutes in pretty dramatic ways. And so being a diversified media company is important as we navigate the ever-changing landscape and going forward. You know, I really want us to win in each category and each product offering and be category defining. And so the balance of decision making is, how do we double down on the areas we're really strong, such as publishing and audio? And then how do we continue to experiment and branch out into emerging areas, such as the metaverse, right?
Yeah.
And have a portfolio that reflects experiments for future stuff and really plays to our strengths in our core of our traditional things. I can say everyone loves to like poo-poo publishing.
Yeah.
Books have been growing, and books for kids is still huge, and physical books for kids. And so as adults, we listen to a lot more audiobooks and Kindle ebooks, but kids like physical books. More than 90% of kids reading is physical books. They like to hold them. They like to see the artwork. They like to flip the pages, and kids publishing continues to grow. So I do think it's a wonderful and important market to be in. And this generation is as digital as it's ever been, and creating the right storytelling in those formats is equally important.
Wait, so Jess, just now you mentioned the last 2 years, and I was going to bring up COVID and you beat me to it, but I'd like to ask you about COVID in a slightly different dimension. And just to prelude this question, you know, obviously COVID has had an as yet immeasurable impact on children around the world. And I just wonder, how have you seen this playing out in your work? Has it influenced what you're doing in terms of getting the message out?
COVID's been really, really not good for girls. I'm going to say that in terms of like the positive trends that we have been making have been reversed for girls because of COVID. Girls are 2 times more likely to suffer depression than boys right now. They are 3 times more likely to be cyberbullied right now. Mental health related emergency room visits for children ages 5 to 11 have increased by 24% from March to October 2020. So, you know, over 2019 in COVID. A new study just came out that almost 60% of female high school students experienced persistent feelings of sadness or hopelessness during the past year, and nearly 25% made a suicide plan.
Wow.
So the state of girls right now is worse than it's ever been. And that makes Rebel Girls so much more important than it already was in terms of being a force for inspiration and confidence building. 8 out of 10 girls want to be more confident. They want it, right? No one wants to have these self-esteem issues and the confidence issues and the depression, like that's not what this generation wants. And so I do think what we're doing and scaling it as quickly as possible is really, really important from a societal perspective. And it also presents great commercial opportunities if you do this right. It's definitely like a win-win-win. And, you know, I think the other thing COVID just taught us is like, digital really matters, but then you get bogged down with like a ton of screen time,
right?
Which is also has all of its presence. So having non-screen time alternative really matters. And so to me, this just reinforces what we're doing, why we're doing it, and lights even more fire, you know, under us to go faster and make more of an impact.
Yeah, every time I ask you a question, Jess, I find that you're opening up about 40 other questions I'd like to ask on each of these topics. It's particularly that last one. I mean, those stats are horrifying. And, you know, you also, as a parent, see, you know, some of the signs of this in your own household at different scales, et cetera. But really, it does support everything that you're doing and makes it so very important. But let's move on a little bit to the business side of this. And just to summarize for everybody, you guys are a B Corp, you're a woman-owned business, you're a startup in an increasingly competitive landscape. Can you talk about your structure, your business model, and your approach to raising capital along the way and into the future?
As I mentioned, our core audience is Generation Alpha. This is the generation that is the most socially conscious generation that we've ever seen. This generation, so many of them as kids are vegetarians and care about social justice and climate change. And they demand brands that speak authentically to them, and they demand brands that conduct themselves accordingly. Hence why we are a B Corp, why we are women owned. We are, you know, a purpose driven brand with social impact. And so walking the walk is very important to me from a values perspective, from a serving our audience perspective. Everything we do is about building coalition. Everything we do is about leading this movement. It is a commercial entity with a social cause. Right. And we're leading a movement and inviting people and companies and governments to join us in saying, hey, we want a more gender equal world, and we're going to have a better world that way. And here's a way to get there. So that's another big reason why, you know, a B Corp structure is us saying, hey, we also care about our employees and our audience and suppliers and the environment and the educational elements of it. And we're pledging to consider multiple constituencies when we make decisions. And then on the commercial side, like, how do we create amazing commercial products that are beloved to do good in the world? And so when I think about like the coalition building, the movement leading, we go back to the artists, as you mentioned, you know, 600 artists from 50 countries and creators. That's a part of a coalition. On the fundraising side of things, how do I bring in different entities and people to the company that is building this coalition and this movement? And so, you know, I raised my seed round of capital from VCs. I raised my Series A from strategics. And both times I carved out a portion of the round to bring in amazing female leaders and also some like amazing male leaders that come in and are part of this, and they help open the doors. They provide ideas, they're advocates for us. And that is part of this movement of building this coalition, and we're going to win by that strength of it.
Jess, I read an article last week with the title, The End of Faking It in Silicon Valley. It was written by a woman named Erin Griffith. And it talked about some of the challenges facing the startup world with funding becoming more difficult to find, with investor scrutiny increasing as, you know, the dollars are at a new sort of level. It talked about some of the recent blowups, you know, FTX among them. And the article quoted the CEO of Airbnb, who said, quote, "It feels like we were in a nightclub and the lights just turned on." You know, add to all of this the obvious shockwaves from the recent Silicon Valley Bank collapse. So, you know, the question, as someone with a front row seat to all this, do you sometimes feel like the lights were just turned on?
It definitely wasn't a super positive article.
No.
Look, I feel like the lights turned on, they turned off, they turned different colors. The world changes all the time, but the last couple of years, I think the world has changed a lot pretty quickly. None of us could have imagined that we would go into lockdown, the various geopolitical things that have happened, the different social and cultural wars that have been going on, what's happening with the economy, the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank. I mean, there's been a lot of things over the last few years. And I don't think that Silicon Valley is immune to them. Look, the end of faking it in Silicon Valley. Look, there are cases of companies that have faked it, and there are many, many, many more that have not faked it, that have been building great businesses. And I consider ourselves one of them. where, you know, we're dedicated to serving our audiences with building amazing products and services, and in our case, storytelling, and figuring out the right business model and the right distribution channels and all of those things. So it's never so black and white. I think part of what you're seeing in Silicon Valley right now is business models are changing. You know, the darlings of COVID are now really struggling to find what the right business model is in a post-COVID world. The companies and industries that had a really hard time in COVID are now thriving again. We live in an environment with high interest rates now and inflationary pressures and the ramifications of supply chain stuff. We're seeing changes in fundraising and changes in financing and changes in financial institutions and changes in workforce and what the workforce is demanding and wanting and looking for. So I don't think it's so simple as saying, hey, the lights just were turned on. I think it's been an ever-changing world with ups and downs. And I think there's good things that come out of change, and there's like definitely challenges. And, you know, it's an interesting time to be alive.
It certainly is. It certainly is. And well done in putting a positive spin on that negative question. And I'm going to pivot in response to end this conversation on a more positive note, namely the future of Rebel Girls. So what are you most excited about in terms of your company's next steps?
So we built our franchise around Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls, which were the real life stories of awesome women. And with this new Series A, we're going to be expanding our storytelling in such dramatic and awesome ways. We're going to be increasing the amount of storytelling we do, the formats we do, and also the genres and the types of stories. So we'll be introducing 5 to 6 new franchises over the next couple of years. And that just increases the umbrella, the universe of stories. And so first one actually comes out in about a week or two. And it's perfect for your daughter. It's for the 8 to 14-year-old girl. It's called Growing Up Powerful. And it is our first foray into prescriptive nonfiction. And so really thinking about the guidebooks for girls. And this first book really focuses on your body is changing, your mind is racing. How do you make sense of a world that has a lot going on? And how do girls celebrate the messiness of growing up and find their confidence and their power and through puberty and body changes? And we'll have more books coming out in the future, The Guide to Money, The Guide to Friendship, The Guide to What to Say When. So that's a franchise that I'm very excited about. Is much, much, much needed. We also are working on our first fictional series, which will come out next year.
Wow.
The 6-book series, and we'll expand it in other formats as well, but really showcasing what current day Rebel Girls, 13-year-old girls are doing. And we think we have an opportunity to innovate in the fiction world in a big way. Traditional fictional storytelling for anyone, more often than not, when there's a female protagonist, she uses magic to save the day. And when there's a male protagonist, he uses STEM skills or strength to save the day.
Right.
And so we think there's an opportunity to have some really strong fictional stories where use their brains and their brawn to save the day. It's also, you know, traditional girl content is girl content versus traditional boy content is 4-quadrant. We think that girl content should be 4-quadrant as well. We think they should have rich storylines where instead of the focus being the mean girls and the stereotypical tropes, we showcase girls who succeed using their brains. We showcase environments and situations that are realistic for them to succeed. We're going to showcase real friendships and community that is positive and supportive instead of tearing each other down. And that we can advance fictional storylines in a really important way. So I'm really excited about that. We've got a couple other franchises going on, but you're just going to see from us new franchises, a whole bunch more books, but also the audio and the television and the metaverse and the experiential parts of this complementing and building out that omni-channel. So what I am most excited about is just how many amazing stories that we can tell that will have huge impact for a long time.
Well, it sounds like a very bright future. And I'm not just saying this, we have already pre-ordered the book you just referenced, the newest franchise. So that will be arriving, I suppose, very soon now, according to that timeline. So Jess, I'm just going to close and put you on the spot a little bit. And I feel comfortable doing that because you're so eloquent in talking about your work and your mission and the impact you can have. And I'll just ask you to sort of to take everything we've talked about and wrap it up into the elevator story. You know, if you were getting into an elevator at the end of the day and someone said, you know, what are you doing and why does it matter? How would you describe it in just a couple of seconds?
Rebel Girls is a purpose-driven company on a mission to help raise the most inspired and confident generation of girls. We are a storytelling-driven IP company that tells all kinds of stories that uplift, celebrate, and empower. Omnichannel, purpose-built, being a movement to create a more gender-equal world and a better world because of it.
It's as if you knew that question was coming, Jess. Very impressive and much appreciated. So listen, on behalf of all of us at Long River Wealth Management and on behalf of everyone listening whom I know has taken a lot from this conversation, thank you for your time today and for everything that you're doing. It's really admirable and wonderful, and we look forward to hearing more. So thanks again.
Thanks, Paul.